with your host, Dave Wood. This is the radio show that puts country music front and center.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Born and raised in Nova Scotia and now calling Ottawa, Ontario home, country artist Drake Jensen has just released the title track of his album, On My Way to Finding You, to radio. This past December, Drake performed his first sellout concert in Ottawa at the NAC. In April of this year, he'll be showcasing his talent at the East Coast Music Awards, those are the ECMAs, in Moncton, New Brunswick. These days, he's also teaming up with bullying.org to help save and change lives. We'll hear about that and plenty more. And this is his third visit to the show, and we're so glad to have him once again, Drake Jensen. Hey, Drake.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Great to have you here. And you were telling me before we went on air just what a busy time this is for you. Lots going on.
Yeah, this has been a crazy time for me, you know, with all of our new developments in the new year and releasing to radio. It's been a very enlightening experience, to say the least, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come.
And we'll get into all that. Let's go back just a bit to this past December, because this must have been a thrill for you, your first solo concert in Ottawa. What was that like?
I was talking about this today with another media outlet, and it was an amazing experience to have the room absolutely packed. The amount of love in that room was incredible, and I'm all about that. You know, I just love people, and they were just sending it on back to me, and I just fed off of it. And it was probably, in my 42 years, probably one of the best performances that I'd ever gave, for sure. And the only reason I know that is because I had so many people come up to me and tell me how much they enjoyed it, which is so, you know, that's amazing when people do that. I mean, just to know that you've reached people, it was such a privilege to be able to do that. And like I said, the amount of love was just incredible. Incredible.
Now, in April of this year, you're getting set for the ECMAs. Is that your first time there, Drake, for showcasing?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it was my first time that we'd ever applied for a showcase and got one, and I'm very, very excited to be there with all of, you know, the great talent from the East Coast. I mean, I'm so proud to be from the East Coast. It's always going to be home to me.
There's so much talent from there, for sure. I think you talked last time about Anne Murray being an influence, among others.
Yeah, Anne Murray was a huge influence on me from the time I was a kid, you know, and so is Reedy McNeil. I mean, you know, I could go on, though. I mean, we've got Bruce Guthrie, and we've got Jimmy Rankin, and, you know, the Rankins themselves. I mean, there was so much that influenced me from there, and so many great songwriters from home, too. So it's just, you know, the culture and the talent is amazing.
Awesome. Well, let's before we get into the title track, which you've released to radio, On My Way to Finding You, you've also shot a video for it. Let's talk about bullying.org and just everything that's going on with you. Debbie Wood sent out a press release with the story and all this. Do you want to just sort of update us on everything going on, Drake?
Yeah, the thing was, you know, it's a very long story. I know we don't have enough time, Dave.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, I came out to the country music world and told everybody I am gay, and I don't take that as, I don't take it lightly. However, I don't think it has a whole lot to do with my music. I put my music first, but one of the things I believed was the fact that I needed to be honest, and I needed to allow the public to make an educated decision what they wanted to buy. That if they were going to buy into me, they needed to know who I was. Because I believe when you market yourself to the public, you have an obligation to tell them who you are. So I wanted to be completely honest about myself. And this thing that came up with the Hubley family and dedicating our video to Jamie Hubley. And if anybody who doesn't know what happened, I'm sure most people do, is that Jamie Hubley was a gay teen who was bullied tremendously in school and found no other way out but to take his own life. And it affected me so much because Jamie and I, when I read Jamie's story, Jamie and I are so much alike. And I actually met with his parents and sat down with them last night, and it was the most amazing experience that I've ever had in my music. And just to sit down and talk about Jamie, and I paralleled myself to that. And I knew at that moment that I had to stand up and I had to be who I was going to be, and no matter what. And I've developed this thing, Dave. I believe that what other people think of me is really none of my business. And RuPaul said that. RuPaul said that very well, and I take that to heart. You know, I really don't care what anybody else really thinks. I just need to bring it, what I have to bring to the table, and to stand up and say, yes, this happened to me too. You know, and I was lucky enough to survive this, and now I have a chance to be a voice for all the people who either don't have a voice or feel like they don't have a voice. So this is where the association with bullying.org came in, with Bill Belsey out in Alberta. And so now we're going to team up with them and do a little bit of work with them in the new year, because it's such a great cause. And the best thing to do is to go watch. We actually produced North America's first gay country music video. And if anybody wants to go watch it, they can go out to Drake Jensen on YouTube, and you can find the new video and have a look at it there.
Now the video itself, of course, as you mentioned, the story behind it, or that it's, you know, it's controversial, if you want to use those words. Was that tough to do? Was it tough to make that decision to put that video out there?
No, and you know, I was asked this question, and the thing is that. My husband and I are a very big team. He's my personal manager and does a lot of work for me. We have a tremendous relationship, not only a business relationship, but also our relationship. We've been married for years, and it's one of those things that's, if I was to deny him, then what else am I going to deny? What else am I going to be able to stand up for? I can't stand up for anything if I can't tell the truth.
Right.
He's the love of my life. You know, I have no problem saying that. And if people don't want to hear it, then they have a choice. They don't have to listen. I guess in one way, Dave, yes, it was a little bit, because people told me, you're going to ruin your career. And I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I think I'm going to be a little bit outside the box. And I've placed myself in a very different place, I think, by doing
this. Right.
And it doesn't bother me, because I think I'm going to find my listeners, and I think Tia McGrath said it best. She said, Drake, she said, your music is going to find a home no matter what. And I took Tia's words to heart. Yeah.
Yeah,
she's
that's
a really
beautiful and so true. People will find you, and they'll believe in the music and in you. And connecting with this website, bullying.org, which we can encourage our listeners to check out, you know, you're going to change lives, and that's a major impact beyond music, too. You're going to actually save young lives.
Yeah, I remember the day that I wrote the dedication that's on the video. You'll read a dedication before the video, I'm sure you've seen. I wrote that. I was here in the office by myself, and I remember it opening up a very big door for me, and me remembering myself as in my childhood. When I left school, and I quit school when I was 14 years old, I had a nervous breakdown. The bullying was so bad for me. And it tore my heart out to write that. I cried that day like I'd never cried in my whole entire life, and I'll never forget that day. But it was very cathartic to write it, and it took me a long time. I remember Sean saying to me, the video's almost done, it's edited, it's ready to go, you need to write this. And I was putting it off, and I'm not one of those people to procrastinate. But when I wrote it, it almost became like my way of saying goodbye to all the pain that I had suffered, you know, and knowing that I lived through it, was lucky enough to live through it. A lot haven't, and I'm here now, so I plan to do everything I can to help other people. And Debbie sent me an email that day, and she said, I knew this was going to be hard. And Debbie is my publicist, for anybody who doesn't know who Debbie Wood is.
Yep, Debbie Wood.
Sure, everybody does. And she said to me, Drake, she said, if you save one life, she said, it'll all be worth it. And that quite summed it up in a very, very good manner for me.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, hey, Dave, let's see what happens, man. You know, I got a whole world ahead of me now. I just don't know where I'm going, you know?
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter, though. I've let go of the reins, and I'm willing to let God lead me where I need to go, you know?
Now, what can our listeners do, Drake, that ties in with the website, bullying.org? Like, how can individuals out there help this cause, help stop bullying? Is there something people can do or should be aware of?
What I did at the NAC is I sold bracelets. Bill Belsey has these little bracelets that say stand up to bullying. We sold $500 worth of those things, and I donated $500 to Bill in the new year to help. He spends $6,000 a year out of his own pocket to keep this. It's a multi kind of media website. There's all kinds of stuff there. There's support for parents. There's support for teachers. There's resources for children. There's a posting form where you can post your story, tell your story. There's all kinds of different things. People can actually go on there. They can buy the bracelets. They can donate money to Bill. Bill is actually, like I said, taking this money out of his own pocket. He has been for almost 11 years now. To keep this resource online, and it's an award-winning website. Bill Belsey is an incredible man, and the first time I talked to him, I remember the child in me kind of reaching out and saying, you know, where were you when I was 14 years old? You know,
right.
I might have stayed in school, but it was a very interesting conversation, that first conversation between Bill Belsey and I. And it was very touching, and I knew from that moment on that I had something to do with this, and, you know, it had nothing really to do with me. I was just guided to it, because I believe that in this life, if you're listening and you're watching for the signs, that you just are guided to things that you're meant to do. And I know in my heart that of anything in my whole entire life, I know in the past couple of weeks I've done the right thing. And like I said, what other people think, none of my business. All I do is keep moving on. I keep making my music, and I send that message out there. And that's all I really want to do, Dave.
That is a great message, Drake. And we're going to talk more about this and more about your career and other stuff coming up. We're going to turn to music right now, though, and the song we had mentioned, On My Way to Finding You, which the video for it can be seen at your website, drakejensen.com. It's a beautiful song. What can you tell us about it? What first appealed to you about it, Drake, when you listened to it, the demo of it?
Well, my husband grew up on a farm in Levin, and I remember listening to, because he spent his summers there as a young boy, and some of his fondest memories are there. And I remember listening to the first line. It said, I remember running out the screen door and racing down the driveway on my bike. You know, and it was one of those things, and I thought about Sean, and I'm sure he had warmed up to it quite quickly, too, because we were listening to the demos together at that time. And I said, oh, this reminds me of Sean. You know, and then it kind of reminds me of my journey to find my own, you know, my own love in my life, which was Sean, which was interesting. So it kind of, it was kind of very connective for both of us. So it was automatic. And I remember when we mixed that track for the album, and we just all looked around the room, and everybody said, because we were going to actually call the album I Found Me after the one that I wrote. And
right.
But when we mixed that track, we all looked around and said, executive decision, things have just changed. This is the title track to the album. And we knew at that moment that On My Way to Finding You would be one of those songs that was going to be a very important part of my career. And so in the past couple of weeks, it's been added to 18 radio stations across Canada and is introduced with a groundbreaking video. And I guess the rest is history.
That's great. Well, let's take a listen now. Drake, we'll listen to the song, and then we'll come back again and talk about a lot more here on the show. This is Drake Jensen, On My Way to Finding You, here on In the Country.
My bike, past the corn out in the fields, and the blackbirds on the wires, with the dirt roads flying high beneath my stingray tires, down to the river. On a summer afternoon, just a farm boy running wild. My way to finding you. Down the hallways of my learning with my school friends, and on the playing fields where we all fought so hard. Then after graduation, in the real world and the bars, at the faces I was searching to fill the hunger in my heart, and on to the bottom. Every dead end road that I came to,
And that is the brand new radio single for Drake Jensen. In fact, the title track from his current album, On My Way to Finding You. He joins me on the show. And before the song, we were talking about the website bullying.org and how our listeners can help. And you can head to the website and learn more about the organization. Drake, what would you say to somebody out there who is being bullied? What words of wisdom or hope, what message would you pass on to someone in that situation and family members of that person?
That's a very difficult question, Dave. I mean, everybody's situation is so variably different. The one thing I from my experience, I can only speak, is that I felt very shameful for very many years. And this is one thing Bill Belsey said to me. He said, did you have a lot of shame locked up? And I'm like, well, yes, of course I did. Because I felt most people that are being bullied feel like there's something wrong with them.
Right.
And with me, you know, it was one of those things, I think, and it's very difficult for me because I was abused at home, too, by my dad. And so I would go to school after leaving home, and I would get it at school, too. And I think it was, for me, it was kind of like a pack of wolves. I mean, they knew I was damaged when I got there. And so they attacked me. And the one thing that happened to me was that I was loaded with shame. I thought it was all my fault. I had no idea at 8 years old that my father had been abused by his mother, and it was just a continual chain. Or the fact that some of these kids that were in school had very bad home lives, and that's why they were doing the things they did. And the whole bullying thing happens everywhere, as you can see. It happens in the home. It happens at school. The one thing I can say is, please believe it's not your fault. Because it's not. And there are resources out there, and there are people out there. And sometimes I think the It Gets Better program is great. But we need to do a little bit more than just say to kids, well, it's going to get better in a few years. Stick it out. Because I have a problem with that. I think we need to – it's like a weed, Dave, because what happens with a weed is if you've got a weed growing out of your lawn and you just cut the lawn, the weed goes away. But in a week, it's back.
Yeah.
What we need to do is start to dig. We need to dig and get the weed out from the root. And what happens with this is that parents need to start educating their children that there are very different people in this world. And there's no such thing as run-of-the-mill anymore. You know, there are very different people. There's different colors of people. There's different races of people. There's different religions out there. There's different gender orientations. There's different sexualities. And it's just also very complicated. You know, that's what we need. And it needs to start at the ground level. It needs to start with parents. I mean, that's where basically everything grows from. And I talked about this with Alan and Wendy Hubley yesterday. And it's all about tolerance. If we start to tolerate each other, we start to listen to each other. And if we don't agree with each other, if you don't agree with the way I am or I don't agree with the way you are, fine. But let's cohabitate. Let's try to get along here. And this is what people need to start to realize. I mean, and it's very simple when you think about it, but very difficult to apply. So to a kid, I'd say, you know, go to bullying.org, call the children's help phone, talk to your parents. There's lots of things you can do. A lot of damage that's caused by bullying is irreparable. It's very difficult. It took me, and this was one of the questions that I was asked at Radio All last year, was, oh, you know, why did you wait till you were 42 to do this? you know, you seem like you're so talented, and la la la. And it was a nightmare right. question. It, to me, it was worse than somebody asked me who I was married to. And, you know, because I would have answered that honestly if anybody had asked me, but they didn't. But the thing about that question was, I have a huge story behind that of why it took me all these years. I had no confidence. I was destroyed. I was on autopilot from the time I was 20 years old till the time I was 35, 36. And it wasn't until I met Sean and I found this very safe haven, and love changes everything. It really does. And for as corny as that sounds, you know, it's one of those things that has really affected me is having that somebody that loves me unconditionally, even though when we met, I wasn't a very nice person. I was very angry and very bitter and very closed is the only way, and very broken. And after a few years, you know, things started to change, and that love changed me. And one day I said, you know what? I said to my husband, I said, it's time. I said that I sing this to the world. And I'll never forget, I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I said, I'm going to Nashville. I said, we're going to do an album. And she said, finally. She said, finally. She said, and this
she
won't be all. Yeah.
She must have been so proud.
Yeah. She was like, you know, finally, she said, this won't be in vain, will it? I said, no. Because she always felt very guilty about what happened to me. Because this is the thing about parents. This is what a lot of people out there need to understand. It's very, very difficult for the parents to do anything because it's happening in school. It's where the parents cannot control it. And it's a very delicate situation because sometimes, and Bill Belsey will be one to tell you this, is that the teachers don't know how to deal with it. It's been swept under the carpet. And you know what happens when you sweep things under the carpet, Dave? That lump under the carpet just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger,
yep,
until you trip over it and you realize, oh, shit, I need to clean that from underneath the carpet. Because what's going to happen is, you know, something's going to happen like what happened with James Hubley here. You know, and it's tragic. This is tragic. Society needs to learn that this will keep happening if we don't change things. So I guess one of my major missions, you know, in my music is going to be, number one, to be honest and tell people who I am. And this is why it happened to me. And this is what happened. This is what it done to me. But now I've got the opportunity to help to make a difference. And, you know, if that's what this is about, then I'll sing for a very long time. You know,
and that brings so much more meaning to the music, too. I mean, the music's great on its own, but if you're going to take it to that level and save lives, change lives, and bring that message out there, then that's such a wonderful thing to do.
I feel like I have a social responsibility to do that, Dave. Down in my soul, more than anything, I feel like
and
I have that.
And there's people out there. You're going to be a voice for them. You know, future people in Jamie Hubley's shoes who are going through this. They're going to hear about you, and you know, they're going to see another way.
And what a privilege and an honor that is, Dave.
And you must have a great team around you. Of course, Debbie Wood, you mentioned. Maybe just talk about this great team you've got around you who obviously believe in you and support you in all you're doing.
Yeah, I've got, of course, I have my husband, Sean Morin, who runs the production company, Soaring Eagle Productions. He does pretty well everything for me. He's the one who's doing all the business. And I have, of course, Debbie Wood, who's a media publicity powerhouse here in Canada. I have my graphic designer, Jillian Fitzgibbon. I have my investors, and you know, my investors believe in me and are there for me whenever I need them. I have a business manager, Lynn Smith. I have a wonderful band leader, and he's also he engineers all of my demos, and he just engineered actually a brand new recording that's going to be in support of bullying.org. It's going to be released in February. Jonathan Edwards, he owns a studio in Barrhaven here in Ottawa called Corvidae Music Studios. Check him out online. Jonathan is an amazing multi-instrumentalist, talented man who's been my right-hand man since I've started musically. And, of course, I have my team in Nashville. I've got Kim Copeland and her partner, Susan Tucker. They're absolutely amazing. They're a resource for me anytime I need them. I also have publicity support in the U.S. if I need it with Pam Lewis. So I've had all these people around me that have helped me to move me forward, even like you, Dave. I mean, without people like you in this industry, this message wouldn't get out. You know, all of the media outlets that have embraced me over the past couple of weeks, it's been crazy. I've been in every newspaper and all of these things, and actually the videos. My first video was shot by All Aces Media. The second video was shot here in Ottawa by a gentleman by the name of Jacob Fergus, and he's an amazing talent. That video, when I watched that video, I thought, my God, he's such an artist. And so I've got everybody around me, everybody I could possibly ever need, and what could a guy ever ask for beyond that, really? So I feel like I have all these people standing with me. And that's the thing about bullying, is that kids need to realize it's the same as me. You know, I couldn't do this by myself. And if you're out there and you're being bullied, then you can't do it by yourself either. So find somebody that's going to help you, and there's lots of resources out there. So, yeah, thanks to my team and thanks to all the people out there that support the cause of love to get this message out there, because it's so vitally important right now.
That's awesome. And once again, the website's drakejensen.com, of course, yours.
.ca, actually. We're .ca, Dave.
Oh, .ca, okay.
Yeah,
I stand corrected on that.
And they'll actually find the video on YouTube under Drake Jensen. That's the best place for them to go look for that.
Awesome. And we'll encourage our listeners to do that. Let's talk about new music, because you talked about, before we came on, working towards a second album to follow up this debut one. How exciting is that for you, and where are you in that process?
Well, what's happening right now is we have all these people sending me songs, you know, and it's amazing. We get emails every day, and I don't know where they find me. I have no idea. And they'll say, you know, we listen to your stuff, and we love your voice, and we want to send you something. And what an honor that is. I mean, when I get those emails, that just makes my day. You know, so we've got all these songwriters sending songs, so I'm listening to songs right now. Tia McGrath and I and Tommy Parham wrote some stuff after the NAC show. We actually rented a cabin, took off to Calabogie, and hid in the woods for 3 days, and wrote three great new tunes, two of which I think are going to end up being on the new album. That's the ones we were demoing today, actually, so my band can learn them for the ECMAs, because we're going to go up there and we're going to sing them some Drake Jensen stuff. But, you know, I'm still always open to other people's stuff, so I'm listening to a lot of other things now. I've got a couple from the U.S., and I've got some from the Maritimes coming, I think. So it's going to be a really exciting album to record. Go ahead.
Sorry, Drake. Will this one be recorded in Canada or back again in Nashville?
I'm thinking Canada this time. I wanted the Nashville experience, and I'm glad I did it, and I probably would do it again, and probably will with Kim Copeland. This time, it's probably going to be in Canada. I want to support a little bit here too, so
great.
Just to have that experience, right?
Yeah.
So I have some people in mind that I'm going to approach on it and talk to them and see where it goes, because that producer artist relationship is a delicate relationship. You know, and you really need to be on the same level with that person. So we're going to talk to a couple of different people, and then we'll let you know when we figure out who we're going to use.
Good stuff. Now, I guess we can expect the album, the overall sound, to be what we've come to expect from you, some good, solid country tunes.
Yeah, and maybe some more up-tempo stuff. Me and Tommy and Tia kind of forged out a fast song out of me, which is interesting because, you know, I love slow stuff. I'm a real sap for that, but they got a fast song out of me, which is, it's called Fast Enough for Me, and it's an amazing song. And they were such a great support for me writing, because I have no problem saying that I'm very new at this, and I need structure. I'm like a bad little kid. Like, I need someone to sit me down and say, well, this is the way it's going to go, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. And they did that, and it was a wonderful experience, and I can't thank them enough. And so we got a fast song, so that one's going on the next album. But
good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I want to play another song, and then I want to come back after that and talk about some of your earlier influences. We touched on them earlier, but so some of your favorite songs and singers and sort of how you started discovering music back in the day. But I want you to tell us first, Drake, about the song we're going to play now. It's from the same album we talked about, On My Way to Finding You, your current album. And the song is called Still on the Radio, and this is a great song. It's catchy, and it's fun, and it's very positive. What drew you to the song?
Exactly that. You know, I had the same impression of it, Dave. It was one of those things. I listened to it and I thought, oh, how many times have you been like, driving down the road, driving down the road with their husband or their wife, and the song comes on the radio, and it's like, oh God, that's our song. Do you remember like 20 years ago when we were driving and la 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 la? And that's what that song is all about. It's about having that song that's still on the radio, you know. And it just has such a wonderful message, and it was written by Bo Fuller in Nashville, and Bo's an incredible talent, and I just thought it was great. You know, it was one of those really poppy, fun songs. And I didn't have a whole lot of poppy and fun songs on the album because, like I said, I'm a real sappy, slow guy. And so it wedged its way in, and it was one of the best, faster songs that was pitched to us. So it was unanimous. Yeah.
I think our listeners are going to love this one. This is called Still on the Radio from Drake Jensen here on In the Country.
Sometimes you just know from that first beat, something tugs on your heartstrings and takes you there, anywhere but where you are. You and me on a long stretch of dirt road, the more you crank it up, the faster we go, and you sure look good, rocking that air guitar. And all what it does when you kiss me, it's like I'm the words and you're the melody. When it feels like that,
country artist Drake Jensen, and that is called Still on the Radio. You can learn more about him at drakejensen.ca. His current album is On My Way to Finding You. I love that song. As I mentioned to you, Drake, it is just so catchy and makes you feel good.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It just might be our next single. You never know.
Ooh, that sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another lady that thought it was a good idea too. So it probably will be. I need to do something fast, and I really want to shoot a live video with like all these people in a bar. And
that would be fun. Yeah, that would fit with
totally
the, with
rock
the,
this. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I need to. I need to get this out of my system all of, after all this seriousness, Dave.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great idea. No, I think the song and that video idea are terrific. Let's go back a bit in time here in our last segment of the show, and take us back, Drake, to when you first discovered music and maybe the first time you sang in front of people, even if it was just family, and thought this was something you'd like to do more of?
You know how those kids like always say they want to be a firefighter, they want to be a policeman, or they want to be, you know, whatever, you know, that when they're very young.
Yeah.
I was 4 years old, and I was graduating from nursery school in number 11 in Glace Bay, which is a very small coal mining town in Cape Breton, and everybody had to do something. So I was best friends with my mother's John Denver album, and I listened to that album constantly. And I wanted to sing Country Roads in front of everybody. So I sang Country Roads in front of everybody. And, it was I remember it. I remember that. I was 4 years old, and it was probably a defining moment for me. And from then on in, I'd been singing. I don't know whether I did it as well back then as I do it today, but, you know, I still did it and developed it. And I went to church and learned how to sing in church, really.
Really?
And from, yeah, that's where I learned how to sing. I was very active in the choir, and it was one of those things that always moved me. I still love hymns to this day, and it was one of those things. I was a churchgoer and loved it, and I don't ever regret that. It was a wonderful upbringing, and I was brought up Catholic, and the values that were instilled in me back then I wouldn't trade for anything. And I have very fond memories of church and music in church.
Do you have a song to this day, whether it's a hymn or a commercial song, that moves you particularly, like one that's not yours, but one you enjoy singing and kind of gets to you?
I'm a big John Denver fan, and I've always been a huge fan of his, and I love Annie's song.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I sang it a lot. I used to sing at weddings. Don't tell anybody. but I used to sing
singer.
At the actual, I used to sing in the ceremonies, not at the receptions. I wasn't like the wedding singer or anything, singing like Hungry Like the Wolf or anything. But you know, I was. I love that song too. But you know, it's one of those things. I always sang at weddings, and a lot of people loved Annie's song. I sang it a few times, and it's just such a beautiful song. I think John Denver was an incredible singer songwriter, and that's one of my favorite songs actually from years ago. Yeah.
That's a beautiful one. And it's Annie's song, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's You Fill Up My Senses?
Yeah. Yeah, it's such an amazing song.
It is
You know,
so
and again, when somebody writes something out of love like that, it lasts forever. You know, and he wrote that for his wife. Eh? And it was one of those things. He wrote it with so much love that it just radiates that when you listen to it, even to this day. And it's interesting. That's what I always strive to capture. Is that feeling. And it's very difficult when you're in the studio, you know, because it can be a very sterile environment when there's nobody around.
Right.
But if you can, if you're loved in your life, yeah, I can always tell a singer, you know, when they're loved, because you can hear it. It translates very well. And hopefully that's what people hear when they hear my stuff, you know, that finally after all of these years and sure, a lot of misery when I was a child, I'm finally happy, you know, and hopefully it's a message to all the people out there that are not right now, that you can be. You know, it's just going to take a little bit of love and a little bit of work to get there. But music has done that for me. I owe music my life, you know.
It's amazing for you, the singer, that music's done that, of course, and then you share with the listeners, all of us, and we can get that from the music as well.
What's amazing is that you guys actually listen. You know, I'm so overwhelmed, Dave, by the reception that I've gotten from people. I don't take that for granted. I think every fan that joins my Facebook page, and there's been a lot, like more and more joining lately, you know, they all tell me their stories and tell me how much they love my music. And what an honor that is for me. You know, I just create it, you know, and put it out there with the best of intentions. When you have people that really love it, you know, it really makes every bit of the work totally worth it.
That's awesome. Once again, I'm speaking with Drake Jensen. The album is On My Way to Finding You, and that's available on iTunes and also through your website, Drake?
Yeah, you can get it on my website. If you want an autographed copy, go to my website. I'll autograph copy, mail it to you myself. They can go to CD Baby and listen to clips and buy separate songs, and they can also do that on iTunes. And then pretty soon we're going to have a brand new song, which is going to be in support of bullying.org, that's going to pop up on iTunes, and it's also going to probably be mentioned on the bullying.org website. But it's an amazing song written by a gentleman in Toronto by the name of Don Graham. And Don wrote this song called Scars and sent it to me. And he said, you know, would you like to have this song? And we actually, it was going to be started as a demo and ended up as a master. And we're going to be releasing that. And all of the proceeds from, you know, from the download of that song is going to go to Bill Belsey at bullying.org to help support that website, along with me selling bracelets and stuff like that live.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Drake, it has been so great to have you on and for you to share these stories and your message and all that's going on. And then, of course, the two great songs and a glimpse into the next album that we'll look forward to, and I know we'll be speaking about it at that time. Thanks so much for spending the time here, Drake.
Dave, I can't thank you enough for having me on so much. I mean, to help us get this message out there means an awful lot to not only me, but a lot of the people that are associated with us right now. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, Dave. Thank you so much.
Awesome. My pleasure. Always great to talk with you and wish you all the best, and we'll be following what you're doing over the next while, all the positive stuff. Once again, my guest today has been country artist Drake Jensen. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.